time now for Berkeley Electric Cooperative Power Talk, a weekly program to educate and inform the member owners about the co-op. You'll hear tips on saving energy and what Berkeley Electric Co-op means to you. Now let's join our host, Terry Bass, for this week's program.
Good morning and welcome to another Saturday edition of BEC Power Talk. So glad to be with you and have some great information to share. Greater Charleston and all surrounding communities. So welcome. Welcome to the show. And Libby, good to see you. Libby Rowig, it's been a while, seems like.
It has, but we've gotten through that election and the holidays are upon us.
They're here.
I'm just ready to get some hot chocolate and roast marshmallows.
And could you do something about the temperature, please? You know, it's like unseasonably everything.
Yeah. I like the cooler air.
Yeah, hot chocolate and 75 don't really work, you know. But I we know.
Yeah.
Living in South Carolina every day, different season. Hot and hotter.
Yeah. 8 months of summer.
Exactly. But it is the holidays, and I'm excited right along with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a special guest that is along for the ride. Matter of fact, he's the special. He's got all the information that we need this morning. And we want to say welcome to the show, Jace Johnston. That's a pretty cool name. Are you a guitar player?
I play guitar a little bit when I was in high school.
Okay. Man, you got to pick it back up. Jace Johnston. You know, I can see you on the acoustic.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm a product of the 80s, so.
Oh, man.
We all had interesting names back then.
That's right. Well, that's an interesting name, and you have an interesting job, even though you may not think so. Cybersecurity, that's really one of the burgeoning industries, if you will, over the last, 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
So cybersecurity is important. So you're the cybersecurity and compliance administrator? A lot of big names in Berkeley, you know, BEC.
Well, you know, you have to have the name to match the job, I guess.
Could say. Jace Johnston, cybersecurity and compliance administrator. So tell us about all that good stuff, your job at the co-op and how long you've been part of Berkeley Electric.
Well, I've been working at Berkeley Electric Co-op for 5 years. I started off in the staking department and was there for about a year, and then I moved on to the IT department. I really started in communication side, so radios, network connections, stuff like that. So.
All right. So, you know, there's a term that, what's that store, Best Buy? You could fit with those guys, you know? Starts with a G.
Oh, the evil G word? Yeah.
Libby, you know, Libby's like, the Geek Squad. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, that's a good term now.
Yeah. It is. Give me a geek any day.
Give me a geek. It's like a cheer. But see, I didn't want to say it, but now that we put it out there, you've probably been teased the part of the Geek Squad. That's just the smart guys. That's all that means.
Well, I know my wife always teases me about it.
So oh, wow. Okay.
We'll go that far. No one else says it to my face, at least.
Until today, you know.
We love our IT department.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, I'm not ashamed.
That's right. He's proud to be a part of cybersecurity and compliance. What is the compliance like? You know, you said been there 5 years. You've done several things. But what's the relationship between cybersecurity and, I guess, compliance, just keeping up with the standard?
That's right. Compliance is quote-unquote boring stuff, the written-out policies that we have to adhere to. But it's a good reason for them. It's because they set a standard for employees to do the right thing. And it's basically I like to see it more as an education, more so than a rule to follow. It kind of gives people a good baseline to know what they should be doing. Because it's a complicated world, and some of the things that we deal with and we write policies for don't come second nature to many people. So there's a reason for, you know, why we write these things.
Right. And as you're talking about the reason, privacy these days, it's all about privacy, you know, because we have to do so many things, cyberspace and, you know, computers and what have you. So it you can have a bad day real quick.
Yes, you can.
When you're not compliant, when you're not up to speed, if you will.
Yes. Yeah. You only have to make a mistake once, and you know, they can, the bad guys can make a lot of mistakes, but you know, we only have to make one.
One bad day can be like a bad year, so to speak. But what does the co-op do to protect the members with all that said?
Well, we have on the hardware side, we protect the members' data locally on our networks through various programs, antivirus solutions, tools, essentially, to help us keep our network safe. To keep, you know, I guess you could say to build the wall around the castle, as you could say.
Okay.
We also have like a lot of the policies we were speaking earlier. I mean, we never disclose our information to anyone not named on the account without, you know, the member's permission. We have strong red flag procedures to detect and prevent identity theft. We carefully handle credit card information to make sure that that helps secure the cardholder's sensitive financial data. And we're always trying to educate members about the scams whenever they occur. I mean, these are, like you could say, the rules of the policies, but, you know, we're always a staff that's looking at our network, looking at our infrastructure, and making sure that anything that pops up on our radar, anything that comes up, we always try and jump on top of it and make sure it's taken care of immediately.
Okay, and once again, for those folks just waking up this morning, BEC Power Talk, we are having a conversation with Jace Johnston, Cybersecurity and Compliance Administrator, and, of course, Libby Rowig is right here, always. Good to have her in the building. You didn't even bring your, you know, the cases are up. Did you bring your spray?
Well, I used your spray.
Okay.
Yeah, you're such a wonderful host that you provide disinfecting
that
supplies.
That stuff's hard to come by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. But we're talking cybersecurity, and here's a question I'll ask. I think I know the answer, but I know you know the answer. Have cyber attacks or the attempts increased or decreased during your time in your role?
They have definitely increased, and that is an industry-wide thing that's going on. It's not just particular with Berkeley Electric Co-op.
Mm-hmm.
By my data in the past year, our probes into our system, our attempted probes from outsiders into our system, has gone up 20%. And we get a couple hundred of those a day. And that's just
wow.
A day? A day. Just people just attempting. We call them knocks at the door.
Okay.
Because our systems are designed to stop that. But we also, with our systems, we can see how many people knock.
Right.
But yeah, it's a couple hundred a day, depending on the day. And Libby and I are actually talking about earlier that, you know, with the COVID pandemic going on, it has only increased more so than it has been. So that 20% number is higher than it has been as far as increasing. We think a lot of it has to do with people being at home more, people being bored. Also, the availability of these tools the bad guys use.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you used to have to be a developer or a programmer to write this stuff because no one had the bad tools.
But okay.
Now you can download those things on the internet very easily. And it's just a lot easier for them to do what they're trying to do.
And I guess when I was a child, you're a little younger, and Libby's a lot younger, right, Libby? Libby's
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You bet. take them when you can get them. But, you know, when we were kids, you know, throwing an egg at the passing car, you know, hide behind a tree, that was our bad behavior, you know. Nowadays, kids are, you know, let's see if we can hack BEC. Or, you know, not just kids, but I'm just saying that the level of malice or the things that you do,
mm-hmm.
it's just magnified in this world because of the computer technology.
Yeah, it's getting easier and easier every day, and we have to be on the lookout, but we have a pretty robust system to make sure that
How big is your team? Do you have a lot of folks that help you out, or is it a small number of people?
So in our IT department, we have 14 members in our IT employees in our IT department.
Mm-hmm.
My specific division, I'm the cybersecurity compliance administrator, and then we have a network and cybersecurity compliance manager. So I'm not alone, but we have plenty of guys to help out when needed.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are live with Jace Johnston, Cybersecurity and Compliance Administrator, and Libby Rowig, our Manager of Communications, having some great conversation about a very serious topic, cybersecurity. And we know in today's world that you can never be too careful. You can never be too safe as far as what's going on, what you guys do for your member owners at Berkeley Electric. So let me ask you this, Jace, what are the top ways people can protect themselves and their data?
Well, there are a couple of different ways. I always like to associate it back when the salesmen used to come door to door, and sometimes you'd have to kind of see if they were kind of being a scam artist or if they were a con man.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same way, but you have to do it digitally.
Okay.
So you always need to have a good head on your shoulders about trying not to be too gullible, I guess is the best way
okay.
to put it. When people are texting you or calling you, 9 times out of 10, when people call or text or send an email, you've had a prior relationship with that person, and you're expecting an email from them.
Okay, that's true.
Also, people talk in a certain way to you. People text you in a certain way. So if you get a random text from someone that you don't know, or they claim to be someone that you know, you always have to think in context. Do I normally talk to this person? Does this person, whatever topic he's talking about, does he normally ask me things like this?
Okay.
And if the answer to any of those questions is no, then you automatically need to be on guard as to if this is a legitimate call or text or email. Because nefarious actors will always attempt to gain your trust by saying that they are someone they're not. Years ago, I remember there was the scam where they'd called someone's grandparents and they'd say that their grandchild was in jail and they needed money. So it's kind of the same thing. We call that vishing or voice phishing.
Mm-hmm.
When they're phishing for some monetary value or some information from you. So what they're ultimately, when in that specific scenario, what they were trying to do is get that person to send them money for quote-unquote bail. But it wasn't bail. They just wanted to take
this,
the money.
Right. Theft.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the best way to describe is to always have your guard up. Always consider communication, especially from communication with someone that you don't know, to be suspicious at first, and to confirm before you do anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I like to tell people is, if you get a call and they say that they're from the bank, you know what bank you use, and
right.
you know a phone number. Say, okay, well, if you're truly from the bank, how about I give you a call back later? And then hang up the phone and do not take the number from them, because if they're a bad guy, they're going to tell you the wrong number.
Mm-hmm.
Then go online or in a pamphlet or on your bill, and they'll have a contact number there from a, we call that an out-of-band communication.
Okay.
And use that number to call back, because I can't tell you how many times that someone has done that and they've called the bank and the bank said, no, we never attempt to call you. We never try to do that. And it was just someone else trying to get
right.
information from you.
And we've had a lot of that during the pandemic. Jace mentioned that, you know, these attacks are on the uptick because of the confusion and uncertainty that the pandemic has brought. And we'll regularly hear from members who say, oh, somebody called here and said, I need to give them a payment over the phone right now, or they're going to be disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Well, throughout the summer, we weren't disconnecting anybody for
right.
non-payment. We were trying to give them that leniency. But we never, pandemic or not, we never take live payments over the phone. That's where we call you and, you know, you give us the card or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We have multiple ways for people to pay, and if they're delinquent on their bill or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
But yeah, we never do that. So anytime when we hear that, we appreciate our members calling us and saying, hey, I just got this call. We push it out in our communication channels saying, hey, if you're hearing this, this is not true.
Right.
These are the proper channels. We will never call you and ask for a payment over the phone. So we really appreciate that two-way communication, because if you're having a problem, other members are probably having a similar problem, and we can share that information and keep your bank right. account safe.
And that's so important, because mm-hmm. like I said, the scams that people try to think up and come up with, and sometimes they're successful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
a lot of times it's because you may have your hair, you let your hair down, or you didn't have your guard up.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, Jace and the entire team is ready to help the Berkeley Electric customer not experience these problems. Because who wants, we've had enough problems, you know?
No.
We definitely don't want to add to these kind of problems. But let's talk about something that I'm sure Libby would love to talk about. You know, cybersecurity and the holidays. Well, how do those things go together? Well, they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you could say we want to share some tips to help our member owners, because this is just good information year-round, but especially during the holiday season, because they say it won't be a typical Black Friday.
Mm-mm.
It's kind of like they got to come up with a better name. I don't know. Something to do with a keyboard. I don't know. You know, but
Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday.
But I'm gonna come up with a name, then I'll trademark, and then somebody have to pay me, right?
Well, yeah, and we've been buying a lot more online through the pandemic.
Yes.
And I'm really concerned with how the numbers are ticking up, and we'll see. You know, we may all be back home again, but
we hope not. But
yeah,
but we gotta look at it practically,
mm-hmm.
and like you said. A lot of people have never shopped online before, but now it's commonplace. It's mm-hmm. it's what you normally regularly do. So this holiday season, which is now,
mm-hmm.
Libby, I like 2X in my sweaters. You know, so. But when shopping, is there any particular browser that's more secure? Because, you know, every browser is competing for your – and I don't like that person. I was like, you know what? If this is what I use, you know, it's like the computer tries to almost sway you into, oh, try this one. You know, no, let me. I'm old school, you know. AOL, you know. AOL.com.
Netscape Navigator.
That's ooh. You
remember that
one? My goodness. That's about around AOL. Yeah. But are there any particular browsers that you would recommend or are safer or more secure than others?
I would say that the big three being, you know, Google Chrome, Microsoft Edge, and Mozilla Firefox.
Okay.
They're all very modern and secure browsers as long as they're used correctly. I wouldn't have any specific preference as far as security goes, but the main thing is that whatever you're using, try and keep it updated. Most browsers are updated on their own. That's why sometimes you'll go into it to go on your favorite website one day and it says, to complete update, please exit out of the browser.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's doing. It did a update on its own, and it's telling you to close it to finish it.
Okay.
And if you notice that for some reason it hasn't done that in a while, or you just want to check it, you can always, you know, look up in the that browser itself and tell if it's been updated. You can take a look at it, just Google, you know, whatever.
Right.
Mozilla Firefox update.
Okay.
Tell you exactly where to go. I would not recommend nowadays to use Internet Explorer. It is a retired browser. Microsoft is no longer supporting updates for that. So therefore, whatever it is, that's the way it is. So if somebody tries to get into it and find something wrong with it, then Microsoft's not going to patch it to fix it.
And that's interesting that, you know, they went from one platform to another within the Microsoft world. But, you know, like you said, Internet Explorer was the thing 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was.
You know.
It was after Netscape, then it was Firefox, Internet Explorer,
mm-hmm.
Chrome is big now.
Yeah.
And now kind of Chrome and Mozilla are kind of fighting each other out.
Yeah,
right now,
which is Firefox. So they've kind of been around and done their thing. And then, of course, Edge, you know, Bill Gates, he's got to be up in there, too.
That's right. He's not going to go down.
No, it's not going to go away.
No.
Quietly. So, but online shoppers, let's pivot over there. What should they look for to know that the information that is either there or what they're going to put out there is safe?
So, you know, when I shop online, I'm always kind of looking to see what other users have said about that online store. So, you know, Amazon's pretty common. So it's pretty well established that it's mm-hmm. it's got, you know, its reputation to uphold. It's a larger company. So they're always trying to keep things up to date,
right,
security-wise. I will say, whenever you go to any site, even if you're not shopping, at the very top of your URL bar, that's the bar that you type in, like www.espn.com or,
okay,
or CNN.com, whenever you enter that, at the very top, if you go back to where you entered it, you'll see a prefix to that site. And if you remember back when we were on AOL days, we actually had to type that out completely mm-hmm. to actually go to a website. Nowadays, it does it automatically.
So in other words, www, you don't really have to.
Well, it's, yeah, it's, know. It used to be http://www.
Yeah.
You had to write out that whole prefix.
All of that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the HTTP is no longer secure, and what you're looking for is the HTTPS.
Okay.
Now, if it has the S at the end of that prefix, then that is a secure protocol, and that's a good sign. That means mm-hmm. that it's been vetted by a third-party certificate.
Okay.
It's used in a secure way, and it has encryption. So anytime that a website has an HTTP but with no S,
mm-hmm.
that means whatever you're putting on that website is open and clear channel communications to whoever it goes to. And there's no way to know if it's verified, and somebody could eavesdrop electronically on whatever you're typing.
Right. And so, in other words, the bad guys are right there in the room with you because you're letting them, so to speak.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. It's not coded in any way.
Yeah.
I mean, HTTP is whatever you say is out there.
Yeah.
So when you type in your credit card number and it's a HTTP website,
mm-hmm.
they can see what numbers are going across. So
that's big. So yeah. Look for the S.
You look for the S. The S is a big deal. And today's modern browsers will actually have a prompt if you go to a website which just has an HTTP without the S. And it'll say, are you sure you want to go here? Because this isn't secure. And it'll tell you. But
look at all the steps we have to go through for the bad guys, you know?
Yeah.
Bad guys, we don't like you. Girls either, you know. Bad people. But once again, we are with Jace Johnston, Cybersecurity and Compliance Administrator, giving us some really good information this morning, because these are the things that you almost expect the computer to just kind of do it, you know, like it's going to update, it's going to refresh it. But no, there are actually things you can do to help the process, because the computer is only going to probably do what you allow it to do.
That's right.
Okay to do so.
Yeah.
Let's talk last thing about like data breaches. You hear about these from time to time. And, you know, every month this big company or that big company mm-hmm. has had, your information is out there. We know what Libby's favorite color is now, because, you know, okay, maybe not. What is your favorite color, Libby?
Black.
Black, did you say? It's like you said whack. I said, what color is that? I never heard of that. Look, she's wearing black today.
Well, this is actually navy blue.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah.
I need glasses then.
Yeah.
I'm colorblind.
Most of the time, I look like I'm going to a funeral.
But she's the brightest lady in the room.
Yeah.
So she's, okay. Yeah. Well,
black and white.
All right. Well, from here, I see the blue now. But
yeah.
All right. But major retailers and breaches, is that something to be more or less concerned about as we move forward in time?
Well, you should always be concerned about it. When companies do business with their consumers
mm-hmm.
or their customers, you know, they keep data on them, whether, you know, for various reasons, whether they need it for future transactions with that person. Sometimes it's necessary for business functions. And they have to keep it all on, you know, a data storage device on site.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually spread out amongst many sites, but it's all within their network. Breaches occur when that data is somehow compromised and is in the wrong hands.
Right.
It's happening more and more in the case that there are a lot more companies out there that have a lot of data, and they're making a lot more money, and therefore they're a lot more juicy targets, I guess you could say, it's worth the bad guys' time to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is that this has become such a epidemic in the past 5-10 years that billions and billions of dollars are being spent in the entire industry to protect us further from these things. They are aware of it, and everyone is working toward making it better, and they are doing a really good job at it now. I will say the best thing to do for you personally is that if you do business with a large company that you know has data, such as like a banking company or, you know, anything like that,
mm-hmm.
just keep your kind of ear to the ground on any news about that specific to your company to see if they had a big breach.
Okay.
You'd know about it early. And you can even, you know, I would call them. I'd say, hey, I heard about this breach. Is my dad involved? And they'll let you know if it is or not.
Okay.
And then you can start to do things like monitor, you know, your credit reports, monitoring your bank accounts. Because the last thing you want to do is get caught off guard.
Right.
While someone has taken your identity, is starting to draft money out of your account. Because the earlier you catch it, the better. Because it can be more easily remedied early on,
right?
Before all the damage is done.
And if it's ever happened to you, then this conversation is even more vibrant, if you will. You know, because if it's happened, you're like locked in right now. It's like, oh man, you know what? Because it happened to me. Has it happened to you, Liv? Have you ever been?
I've,
knock on wood.
Yeah, I've had minor
okay.
little. It's like they try to see if the credit cards are paying attention, and they'll do like
yeah.
a 50 cent or $1.25
yeah.
charge to something,
yeah.
and my cards always flag it.
Okay.
And we try to put as much as we can through our credit card,
okay,
just because I feel like that's a layer of defense.
That's right.
It's easier to dispute credit card charges
exactly.
than it is to get money back into your checking account.
Yeah,
so.
Well,
yeah.
exactly. But yeah. Wow, but this has been a good conversation because, once again, people need to realize that we're just in a new world that's constantly evolving and changing, and cybersecurity and the things that go along with it, it's just the way it will continue. It's not going back. You know,
no.
We're not going back. So the more you know, as they say, that if you knew better, you would do better. So we're giving you the know better part this morning.
And
Yeah,
our older friends are probably more at risk.
Right. Good
for
point.
Any kind of scam, cyber or otherwise. So, you know, if you have an older person in your life, watch out for them. If you are an older person and are confused, you know, try to seek out somebody who might be able to help you, because
right.
I know my own parents have fallen prey to some of these things.
Oh boy.
And it's scary, you know.
Yeah. It is, and once again, bad guys, you guys, we don't like you. I'm serious when I say that. I really don't like them. But we got to talk about it. We got to keep ahead of them, and you know, they can just go away. Just go away. But Jace Johnston, so glad to have you on with us this morning. We'll definitely update again, because you'll have an update. See, we should call him Mr. Update, because
yeah.
you're probably used to the updates, right?
Yeah.
One thing I don't like with my computer, when I need that, like right when I need it, oh, it's in an update.
Oh,
and it's
man.
Forever, you know?
How many times did you push that update back, though? Did you push it back?
Well, okay.
Yeah, okay.
We'll call it even. We'll call it even.
It's like, I've been waiting. Why are you pushing me back?
Aww.
Yeah. We'll call it even. Doggone it. He got me. All right. Well, look, this concludes this edition of BEC Power Talk. Thanks again, Libby and Jace. Good to have you on with us. And we'll do it again soon. My friends, have a good day. All right?
Thank you.
You
too.
You.